This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Time for the show to begin. Let's get on our agenda close and sit at the courtroom, not this end, no, the other end where the judge sits. That's it. Nice up high with a beautiful chair. Beautiful. Douglas County emerges from that invisible line between the town of Wenatchee and East Wenatchee. You think life is the same on both sides of the mighty Columbia? No, it's not the same. Oh, it's similar, but not identical. Everything has a different name on the east side, even the legal process. Douglas County has its own courts, its own judges, its own prosecutors, its own criminals, its own innocent citizens. And it has the results of arguments and defense in court. Want to see the process and the people behind it? Well, come to your radio today to talk with candidate Eric C. Bigger, running for the judgeship of Douglas County's District Court. And perhaps after waiting through the process, you'll be better informed and inclined to blow off the midterm election malaise and actually vote in this election so we can have more than 40% of the people take part in our so-called democracy. You'll be armed with the voter's best weapon, knowledge of the candidates, the men and women like yourself who have stood on the precipice of public service, thrown their hat into the ring, that ring from which no hat has ever returned. So now let's meet our very special guest, Eric C. Bigger, candidate for the district judgeship of Douglas County. Nice to have you here, Mr. Bigger.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Any regrets about entering the race? You've been a candidate now long enough to know whether you did the right thing.
Not at all. I knew before the appointment process came up that that I was interested in the position and that I was going to run.
You've been on both sides of the game in terms of the legal process in court. You've been a public defender. You've been a prosecutor. And during that time, did you ever glance at the judge and say, you know, I think I could do that job?
Well, not during my early years, as I was pretty green in the process. But I did start my early years in private practice. And then I acquired the Douglas County District Court Public Defender contract and the juvenile contract for Douglas County. And so during those years, I had plenty of an opportunity to observe the judges, observed how they conducted themselves. And I guess during the course of my career, I then developed a passion for wanting to join the judiciary.
And having seen it from both sides and had some time to think it over, how should a judge comport himself on the bench?
Well, I think it's absolutely imperative. And it's one of the things that I am passionate about is that you need to present yourself in a very professional manner. I think everybody that comes before you in the courtroom, they retain their constitutional rights, and they deserve to be treated with respect. A lot of these individuals that come in the courtroom, they just may be there for an infraction or a small claims matter. And even on the criminal matters, they're all entitled to due process. And I think it's an absolute responsibility of the court to guarantee those constitutional rights are afforded them, and that in the long run, the process, they are treated with dignity and respect. And that's my focus.
District Court is mostly misdemeanors. There are some exceptions to that, but would you say it's 98% misdemeanors?
Yes, for sure. It's the only non-misdemeanor matters that I deal with are preliminary hearings on felony matters for Judge Hotchkiss in Superior Court.
And sometimes District Court in various counties has a way of moving right along. There's no time to dawdle in District Court.
Yeah, in District Court, I would say probably 65 to 70% of the work that we do is criminal in nature. And in that they are misdemeanors and gross misdemeanors, we handle a large volume, and they do move along fairly quickly.
How many cases a day do you think would be an average?
Well, each day is different. That's what's interesting about the position I'm in now. Each day is totally different. I have in-custody hearings. I have arraignment hearings. I have preliminary hearings. I have small claims. So every day is different. This past Tuesday, we had a heavy calendar. And by pure number, I had about 100 cases.
You find small claims court to be a difficult place because people who are not accustomed with the law or rules of evidence or much of anything when it comes to standing up and defending yourself have to make claims against somebody who defends themselves against that individual. And then it comes down to who, in terms of small claims, who makes up their mind.
Exactly. And I think that's true of all pro se court participants, whether it's a criminal defendant that's pending charges that are representing themselves or in a small claims, which, of course, attorneys aren't involved to handle. And so you're absolutely right. They come into court. You have a very small summary of what their claim is. And, you know, they don't understand necessarily the rules of evidence. And rules of evidence are relaxed in small claims. So it's a little bit different court proceeding than typically what people see But it is difficult because the court does have to weigh, after listening to both sides, assess the testimony, assess the evidence, and then make a ruling that's based on the law, not just based on what a lot of people perceive should be just be fairness. But we have to actually base the law on our decision on what the law is.
So fairness is nice, but the law is more important.
It is.
When you were a younger man and getting ready to go to law school, how did you make up your mind? How did you jump into that line of work?
Well, quite frankly, when I graduated from my undergraduate studies, I attended WSU, Washington State University.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
And yeah, then, I thought you wanted to say it but didn't feel like you should.
Yeah, yeah.
You Husky voters, still, come on, pay attention.
Yeah. And then I also attended Eastern Washington University, Eagles. And it was after, obviously, once I completed my undergraduate studies that I decided to go into law school. And it was more pushing from the family than probably something that I necessarily wanted to do at that point in time. So maybe they saw somebody that might be interested in pursuing law school.
Mother or father said, Eric, you're going to be a lawyer.
Actually, my father-in-law.
Oh, really?
Said, why don't you do this?
Really?
And at that point in time, I had a bachelor's degree, and I hadn't really thought about what I wanted to do with that degree. And he suggested it. I thought about it, and I thought, why not? Let's go for it.
That's no small undertaking, going to law school.
No, it's a commitment not only for you, but it's also a commitment for your family. I was married at the time and still am married for the past 36 years. I hope my numbers are correct to my wife, Corinne.
Oh, and, for your sake that they are.
Yeah, for sure. And anyway, so, you know, it's a process for the entire family. But, yeah, it was quite an endeavor, and it was always thankful to graduate. And I should put out there, go Gonzaga, because I was attended Gonzaga University.
So a Coug, an Eagle, and a Zag.
Yeah, all Eastern Washington.
Good job.
Thank you.
Now, when you graduate from law school, you can be a corporate lawyer, wear a suit every day, push a lot of paper around, maybe never see the inside of a courtroom. But that wasn't your way, was it?
No, that's not the way my career turned. I returned to my hometown of Waterville, opened up a small practice, and then in a very short time period, I became interested in criminal law, and I obtained the Douglas County District Court contract and also the Douglas County Juvenile contract. And so that kind of was my introduction into criminal law. And then from there, in 91, then I was hired by then-prosecutor Judge McCauley as a prosecutor. And I continued in that field till 2014. So, and then after leaving the prosecutor's office in 2014, became a court commissioner for Judge Hotchkiss and a judge pro tem for Judge McCauley and a judge pro tem in Chelan County District Court for their judges as well. So really for about the past 30 years of my career, I've been in the courtrooms of Douglas County.
In criminal court, I mean, you may be a very gifted student of the law, but you got to stand up and defend or condemn the person that you're facing. And you have to have what's known in some Irish neighborhoods as the gift of gab. And it has to be more than just gab. There has to be law and the true argument behind it. Where did you find that you could stand in courtroom and think on your feet?
You know, I think it developed with time because you're just thrust into that position. It's, of course, you got to apply the facts to the law when you're making your argument. But I think it's something you create during your career or you develop during the course of your career. And I always enjoyed jury trials. I didn't necessarily enjoy the preparation of jury trials, but I enjoyed the actual jury trial because it really an opportunity at that point in time to relate to the jury. You were strong in your convictions about the case that you had and the evidence that you had. And I always had the thought process that if I had the facts, I had the law, and I had really right on my side as a prosecutor, that I should be able to convince any jury of the truth of what I was putting before them. So the gift of gab certainly helps, but I think being genuine and honest in front of a jury is also something that they look for.
I had lunch with a couple lawyers. Neither one of them were in criminal law, but both of them agreed to one thing which really surprised me. You can't trust a jury. You have no idea what they're going to say. You have no idea how they're going to arrive at their conclusion. You may think you've got them in your pocket as the case goes along, but one thing that you weren't even aware of has already sunk your case. Is it true that lawyers don't like juries, or is that the exaggeration of the two people that I overheard speaking?
Well, I won't say that it's true that lawyers don't like juries. I think it's true that you don't necessarily know what a jury's thinking. I mean, how could you? You are presenting your case. You've done your research. You've done your investigation, and you think you have a good case. but you're only human. And so something that a jury might think is important, you hadn't thought of in your preparation. And so when they go back into the jury room, you know, some attorneys, and I'm no different, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, are they thinking about this particular issue? Should have I emphasized that point more? So I don't think it's a distrust of juries. As I said, I think I had confidence in my cases. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been going forward. But I had a lot of respect for the jury system. And my position was when a jury came back and they made a decision, whether it was a conviction or an acquittal, the justice process was served, because after all, you know, that's the whole purpose of the justice system.
Well, that's a counselor communicating with a jury. Now you have to communicate with voters, and the same sort of question applies. How do you know when you're getting through, and how do you know who's going to get the vote?
Well, I think you do your due diligence. I think you put the work in. We started in April in our campaign. We've been doing a lot of doorbelling. We've attended 3 or 4 parades. We have attended multiple forums. We're out talking to people on a regular basis. And so that's been really nice, meeting a lot of people, and actually meeting a lot of people that you were perhaps acquainted with professionally, but you didn't know they lived in East Wenatchee, and you knock on the doors and, hey, I know you. So right. That's been really cool, getting that opportunity to do it. And plus also meeting a lot of people in the professional community as well that I've worked with over the, you know, a 30-year career that I've worked with, and now kind of get to reintroduce myself as a judicial candidate.
That's the voice of Eric C. Bigger. He's the candidate for the District Court of Douglas County. Perhaps he's been on your doorstep. When we come back, we'll ask him what he has learned from the people who could vote for him on November 6th. That's 40 days, hence the midterm elections. Be back right after this on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Employment.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Beautiful sunny afternoon in Wenatchee. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Eric C. Bigger. He's candidate for the District Court of Douglas County. We're having some fun talking about it. You have a background in winter wheat, I just found out off the air. I'm sure every farmer out there who's thinking about voting just wants his ears pricked up and said, tell me your story, sir.
All right. Well, it's actually my wife's family background. They own a fair number of acreage up on the Waterville Plateau. And over the last 3 or 4 years, I had my opportunity to drive the tractor around, and so yeah, so it's a great way to make a living if you're a farmer.
So you're a big city lawyer, but you know your way around a tractor.
I do know my way around a tractor.
When did you first get to the idea that being a defense attorney was not maybe what you were cut out for?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily something that I wasn't cut out for. It's just that at that point in time, a position became open in my hometown, Waterville, and a position to open up in the prosecutor's office, and I was doing battle with the prosecutor's office, Judge McCauley, in juvenile court and in district court, and an opening came up, and I just took the opportunities to make an application. So it really
you were hired by your opposition.
I was hired by my opposition at that point in time.
Well, that's a pretty good endorsement, don't you think?
I hope so. Yeah,
this guy is driving us crazy. Hire him.
Hire him.
Well, what are the folks of Waterville and East Wenatchee telling you when you're on their doorstep saying, please vote for me?
Well, I think that from a judicial position, of course, we're pretty limited on about the topics that we can discuss. So I think it really...
And is that a good idea?
I think it is a good idea. I think absolutely it's a good idea. I mean, you never, as a judge, you're not allowed to, but you don't want to be in a position where you've stated a personal opinion that may affect some controversy, subject matter of a controversy that's going to appear before you in court. And that's the basis for the rule. We're nonpartisan, we're independent, we're neutral, and that's how judges should be.
Blindfolded and holding the scales of justice, right?
Absolutely.
That's an ideal way to do it. Is the system fixed against people who can't afford representation if they find themselves in some serious trouble?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, in criminal law, of course, our Constitution affords people the right to counsel. I mean, it's a constitutional right, and I can't state that firmly enough.
And could be the most important one you ever get if you're in trouble.
Absolutely. And so, you know, in district court, I deal with that on a daily basis. And we appoint counsel on a daily basis for those individuals that can't afford counsel. And, you know, they come from all walks of life. And so it's not perhaps what people might stereotype as somebody that can't afford counsel. It's all walks of life that we see in Douglas County District Court, and everybody comes in with their unique financial situation, and you have to address that.
And representation can be an expensive process.
Yeah, if you're talking about retaining an attorney and going a private representation, it can be very expensive. And unfortunately, that's just the fact of life. I think throughout our nation, attorneys are expensive.
Right.
But you know, some might believe that they're well worth the money that they're paid.
And so, when you stand on the doorstep and ask me for my vote, and we can't talk the issues, and we can't talk about whether you're a Democrat or Republican, and we can't talk about some of the things you've done already in court, what can we talk about so that I can be assured that I'm voting for the right man?
Well, I think the biggest question we get is, what qualifies you to be the Douglas County District Court judge? You know, what do you have to bring to the table? And my response is relevant courtroom experience. As I indicated, I've been basically in the courtrooms of Douglas County for over 30 years, or nearly 30 years, I should say. I've prepared myself. I've been a judge pro tem and a court commissioner and now judge of Douglas County District Court for nearly 4 years. And so I've been practicing in the court as a judge for the past 4 years. And so there's that aspect of it. And I think it's important that the voters look at the relevant experience that the candidates have and make their decision based on that. The last thing I would say is, look at the support that the candidates have. Do some research. Look at their webpage. Look at their Facebook. Facebook's a big thing nowadays. There is information that's out there. Do your research and make your decision.
If someone has an important case and it finally comes to the courtroom and they find out that the case is being heard by a court commissioner, do they have reason to be worried?
No, I don't think they have a reason to be worried. I only hesitate because of this. You know, every case is different. And we're talking, we have criminal cases, we have civil cases. Every hearing is different than the hearing you might have next in that case. And so, in family law cases, if you have a court commissioner that doesn't have any background in that particular case that's maybe been going on for 6 or 9 months where the judge has been hearing the case, then I think it's important to have some continuity on those types of cases. And so, as an attorney, you might want to have the elected judge hear that case.
We talked briefly about how the pace of district court can be rather quick, time to move along. Did people have a chance to petition the judge in any way at that time, or is that for another place?
Well, absolutely. Basically, every time that you're in court, particularly in Douglas County District Court, and I'm sure that's probably true in most courts, you have a large volume of cases, but you never want to move at a pace where an individual doesn't believe that they have an opportunity to be heard and have an opportunity to present their side of the story. Now, most of the individuals I see have attorneys, and the attorneys do that for them. So, yes, it's a fast-paced court, but you got to pause, you got to listen to the folks, and you got to make your decision based on the evidence and the law.
It's the evidence in the law that sometimes takes the humanity out of the process, and not that you're inhumane, but that law and process are going to be more important now than the individual wants, needs, or feelings about an individual in court, and sometimes it's hard for them to appreciate that. I feel like I've been wronged. Well, this is not the place to discuss it.
Yeah, and of course we see that. I mean, we have individuals that do come to court, whether it's a criminal case or even a civil case, and they might have a couple things going on. The matter that's before the court, I'm addressing one aspect of their concerns, but they want to bring up another matter. Of course, the court is not before the court. The court can't hear that. And so we have to focus on what's in front of the court and move accordingly.
And that sometimes is, difficult for the individuals, that focus and an understanding of the process.
It is. And of course, you rely on the attorneys and the court staff to guide them to a certain extent through the process. And, you know, Douglas County, like all the courts, have a web page that have some descriptions of the process and some resources.
November 6th seems like a long way away, but it's just a matter of days. As the elections seem to have come up on you, the days going quickly, you say, what happened to that week? We just started it. Now it's over.
Yeah, I think as the days do get closer to the general election, I think things heat up a little bit. The pace seems to get a little bit faster. Days seem to go by a little bit faster. I agree with that.
What have you, do you have a memorable day of campaigning where something came across your came across the threshold somewhere and somebody said something to you, or an incident was described that was memorable to you, that's sort of something that comes up in your mind again and again?
You know, my wife has been a tremendous asset. She's with me all the way on this campaign.
I hope she's in charge.
And she is in charge. Believe me, she's in charge.
Thank God.
But the one thing that jumps out at me during the campaign was actually a story related to me by my wife. And that was, she, while doorbelling this particular block, there was an adult but a young man that had answered the door. And the young man, during the conversation with my wife, revealed that I had actually either presided over a case as a judge on one of his, or I had prosecuted him.
So he remembered you, but you didn't remember him?
Well, I didn't meet him. My wife was doing that particular doorbelling. But what he did relate to my wife that I took to heart is that in the fashion that I dealt with him, that I treated him fairly, and I treated him with respect. And I think my wife describes, he turned to his dad and said, "You need to vote for that guy." So that hit home to me, because part of my position as a judge is that people need to be treated with dignity and respect. And as I said earlier, that's a focus of my campaign. And I continue to believe in that very strongly.
Right or wrong, when someone's in court and they're before you, dignity and respect number one, and then we'll get to the gritty bits later.
No, absolutely. I see people every day that have extensive criminal histories, but they're before you on this one particular case, and as I said before, these people deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. You still have to follow the law, and there's going to be punishment if they're convicted or if they plead guilty. That you have to impose. But even in doing so, you can still treat them as a citizen and with dignity and respect.
Eric C. Bigger, candidate for District Court of Douglas County, is my guest today. We'll be back right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
8922.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:46, time in the afternoon on a beautiful sunny day here in Wenatchee. I'm Michael Knight. This is The Agenda. My special guest is Eric C. Bigger. He's a candidate for District Court of Douglas County. You find that this is the first office you ever ran for, the first campaign you ever had to mount?
Actually, no. Back in 96, Judge McCauley was running for election for the Douglas County District Court position I'm in right now. So she was leaving the Douglas County Prosecutor's Office. So I actually ran for prosecutor in 96.
When you look back on your history from Waterville to East Wenatchee to the courtrooms, what are you most proud of?
I would say service to the community and I guess a faithful allegiance to the system. I'm a very strong advocate for the fact that our judicial system, in order for it to work, everybody has to do their job. Defense attorneys, prosecutors, judge, investigators, and the list goes on. And so I'm an advocate for trust in our system, that the system, moving parts, I guess I'm trying to spit it out, have moving parts.
You're doing fine.
But that it all has a common goal, basically, of running an efficient justice system for Douglas County. And as judge, I'm just one part of that system. I may be the individual sitting behind the bench, but I'm just one part of that system.
Do you think it's important for the bench to be up high so we all have to look up at the judge? They all are up high. I don't know how high or how they measure it or how they design courtrooms, but you better look up if you're going to see the judge.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with that philosophy. I don't know if that was from the British system or not, but you're right. All the court benches are slightly elevated, and as is the one in Douglas County District Court.
And it's not the judge who sits there, but it's the law that sits there, right?
Absolutely. We are representative of the law. We are guardians of the Constitution. We are guardians, I believe, of the rights of our citizens when they come into the courtroom. So, yes.
People have a way of saying, well, he's just a lawyer or he's just a judge, but they don't carry the title officer of the court, which carries responsibilities that are serious.
Oh, absolutely. when you're in the courtroom, actually the defense attorney and the prosecutor, they are officers of the court. And when we use that term, once again, it is an open government. It is candor towards the law. It is honesty. It is all the things that should be reflected in our legal community. And so, once again, yes, I am an officer of the court and have my role, but the defense attorneys and the prosecutors and the civil attorneys, when they enter the courtroom, they are all officers of the court.
I only raise that because many people forget the legal responsibility of playing this game, playing the law game. It's serious. It can be considered frivolous because we see lawyers making stances on television that are sometimes undignified. But the fact is that that won't always wash in court, and it won't win a case for you.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, district court is, as you discussed earlier, we're a gross misdemeanor court, small claims, infractions, and to a certain extent, people might think that is, you know, it's a court of limited jurisdiction is what it is. We don't, and so there's a lot of things that we don't hear, but that doesn't mean the court is not any less important than that of the other courts in our state and our nation. Every person that comes in there is going to be affected in some way. And so to them, that's the most important case in the land at that point in time, because there are consequences. There's license suspensions, there's jail times, there's fines, there's probation conditions. In civil matters, there's judgments, there's collections, infractions, there's, again, potential license suspensions. And so there's a lot of consequences that comes out of these matters that appear in front of district court, and I think it's important to have a judge that understands that and addresses those concerns of each citizen as they come forward and keeps that in mind.
We're at that time of the interview, sir, where I ask you to ask the vote of the good people of Douglas County.
Well, thank you, Michael, and I would appreciate the vote to retain me, Judge Eric Bigger of Douglas County District Court. Thank you very much.
November 6th, if you don't vote, I shall be very cross with you. Not you, sir, but the voters that we're talking to. I appreciate your time today, and good luck with your efforts.
All right, thank you.
Eric C. Bigger, candidate for District Court of Douglas County. Be right back after these words. You're